Options are, as I mentioned earlier, a little bit more like insurance. And for a lot of people, they're easier to use, easier to understand, and just all around a good idea because, again, it gives you the upside. It gives you a floor on the downside, but no limit on the upside. Now, a put option instead of selling futures to hedge, a put option gives you the right to sell futures. So it gives you a right to do that if that's to your advantage. You've got a right to sell futures at a fixed price before an expiration date. And for live cattle, options expire on the first Friday of the month. So they expire well before the futures and before the delivery process starts taking place on the futures contract. Feeder cattle, the advantage of cash settlement is that feeder cattle options expire on the same day as feeder cattle futures. So whether you're hedged with futures or options, you can maintain your hedge the same length of time. Questions on puts. Well, the other kind of option that we won't spend a lot of time with, but figures into some of the strategies that we cover during a normal section is calls. And instead of the right to sell futures, a call gives you the right to buy futures at a fixed price before an expiration date. So it's just the opposite of a put. The put gives you the right to sell futures. The call gives you the right to buy futures. And both of these cases, we're talking about buying puts or buying calls. But it's very important to keep in mind, a call does not offset a put. So if you buy a put and then later buy a call, you're not out of the market. You just got two different positions. So if you buy a put to offset the put, you sell back the put. Okay. So questions on these two options, puts and calls. And we're going to concentrate on puts during this part of the section. Now, strike price. The nice thing about options is all the options you have with the options. When you buy a put, you get to choose your strike price. So you get to choose the price level that you're locking in. In live cattle, strike prices are every $2. So from any particular level, these are even numbers. So every $2, there's a strike price to choose from. There's usually six or seven above where the market's at and six or seven below. So you've got at least 15 different strike prices to choose from. As we get to the front 2 months, strike prices are every dollar. So we'll add strike prices in between to fill the gaps. So if we've got live cattle at 75.80, the closest strike price would be 76, and then there's a number of strike prices above that at $2 intervals, and then a number of strike prices below that at $2 intervals, and those arrows tell you that there's some even higher and some even lower, so there's a wide array of strike prices to choose from. Any questions so far? The options are really easy to grasp. The ones that are way above where the futures are at, if you buy those, I call those high-value insurance. Those are like buying million-dollar policies, you know, because you're buying the right to sell futures way above where the market's at right now. So it gives you the right to do something that futures don't give you the right to. So they cost a lot of money, and they're a little more expensive, but they give you a lot of value for your dollars spent. Like most insurance, most of us will buy the ones below the market. I call those insurance contracts with a deductible provision. I mean, how many of us have car insurance and have $500 or $1,000 deductible? Most of us. You know, so you buy ones below the market. You know, in the case of the 72 put, for example, that one won't kick in until the market gets below 72. So, I mean, it's there. It's got value, but it really doesn't pay off to a big way until the market's below 72. So, it's a, I call that a $4 deductible. So most people tend to either buy the one that's closest to where the market's at or the ones that are below the market. Questions on live cattle strike prices here? Feeder cattle. Strike prices are every $2 for all months, every dollar for the front 2 months, just like live cattle, and then once you get to the expiration month or the spot month, we also had strike prices at 50-cent intervals. Again, if October feeder cattle are at $90, there'll be strikes above that and strikes below that. When you buy the put, you choose the strike price. That's your decision in buying a put. All right. That's 3 out of 4 terms. We only got one more to learn. Any questions on anything so far? Otherwise, you'll be in the 4 to 6 category option-wise here. These are very easy to use. All right, let's move to the last term, and that's the premium or the cost of the option. It's quoted in dollars per hundredweight. And options trade in a pit just like futures do, and the option value changes every time the futures price changes, so the cost of an option can vary from minute to minute throughout the trading day, just like futures do. You can't look up in an insurance book what a 78 put will cost. It's based on a lot of different factors. Okay. So it is variable throughout the trading day. So we've got put, call, strike prices, and now premium. That's the cost of the options. Now, let's do a quick example. And this would be a typical, on the short side, this would be a typical hedge type example. And we're going to buy a $90 put when futures are at $90. Okay. Now, here's something to keep in mind. When you buy a put, if the market goes lower, your put increases in value. If the market goes higher, it decreases in value. But it can't be worth less than zero. So you can't lose more than you put in on the option. That's your limit on buying a put. All right. Right now, futures are at $90 in whatever market this is. It's an October market of some kind, some year. And we're going to buy a $90 put. And that put might cost $2. This is feeder cattle, of course. Well, could be live cattle 6 months from now. But we're looking at a feeder cattle option here. So if it costs $2 per hundredweight and the feeder cattle option is 50,000 pounds, that's 500 hundredweight times $2 is a net cost of $1,000. So that insurance cost is 500 times 2 or $1,000. That's your limit to your risk on buying this $90 put. Questions there? Okay, so when you buy the put now, it might be worth $2. That's a typical premium for an at-the-money put. Now let's move ahead in time. Oh, by the way, when you buy that, you've got a $90 strike price, and it costs you $2 a hundredweight, so you're establishing a floor price here of $88. And that's your limit on the downside, no matter how low the market goes. Now let's move ahead in time to October, and the market's down to $80 for futures. What will your $90 put be worth? What's the right to sell at $90? What's that worth in an $80 market? At a minimum, what's it worth? $10. Okay? It was too simple. You all knew that. You thought I was trying to trick you, right? So it's worth $10. You got the right to sell at $90, and the market's at $80. It's worth at least $10. And if it's not at the last day of trading, it might be worth a little more than $10. But at a minimum, it's worth $10. So when you sell this option back for $10 times 500 hundredweight, means you'd get back $5,000. Okay? So it costs you $1,000 to buy it. When you sell it back, you get back $5,000, and you use some of that profit then to offset a lower selling price. So you sold your option at $10, you paid $2, you have an $8 profit. Sell the cattle at $80 gives you a net price of $88. Okay, and that's that floor price you calculated to start out with. No matter how low the market goes, your $90 put will increase in value enough to offset the lower cash and futures prices to give you a net price around $88. That's, again, there's some variation due to basis, but that's how it works. Question here on the downside. Okay, so, yes. No.
What would happen if we hedged these cattle?
If you'd hedge these cattle with futures, what price would you have locked in? Good question. $90. So you would have made more if the market went down selling futures. Good point. You'd be $2 better off selling futures. But here in January, do you know what's going to happen in October? Well, you might. You might be psychic, but how many of the rest of us know exactly what's going to happen 9 or 10 months from now? We don't. So if we had 20/20 hindsight, we would have sold futures and locked in a higher price. But we don't have 20/20 hindsight, and the market could be higher. This is the reason why buying puts is sometimes a good thing, because if the market is higher, let's say by October the market's up at $1, then what will your $90 put be worth? Zero. It has no value whatsoever. So you lost the $1,000. You lost the $2 a hundredweight. You lost everything you paid out. But you don't have margin calls on the way up. And you sell your cattle at $1. So you get $1 minus $2 or $98. So you get most of the upside opportunity. You know, if you hadn't done anything at all, of course you'd get $1, but here you get $98. So, you know, on the upside, you're better off doing nothing. But again, here in January, you don't know which way it's going to go. So buying puts gives you a lot of protection if the market goes lower, and gives you a lot of opportunity to take advantage of higher prices if the market goes higher. So it's a good either way. You know, once you buy a put, you hope the market goes higher or lower. You just hope it doesn't stay the same. You know. But whichever way it goes, you've got a pretty good outcome. Questions here on this quick example? Any other questions? All right, we're going to run another example or two. So, yes, ma'am. An October 1 would expire the first Friday of October. So if you were hedging live cattle, that option won't expire until the first Friday of October. So you've got a hedge on your October fed cattle. This happened to be feeder cattle, but your hedge lasts almost as long as you've got the cattle in the feed yard. All right, let's look at calls. Let's buy a $90 call when futures are at $90. Calls, we're not going to spend a lot of time with calls, but calls increase in value if the market goes higher, decrease in value if the market goes lower, but you can't lose more than what you pay. So when we're at $90, if you buy a $90 call, it might cost you $2, same as the put. If the market goes down to 80, your call will be worth zero. And if we go up to $1, your call would be worth $10, maybe a little bit more, depending on how long it's got the run. But calls increase if the market goes higher, decrease in value if the market goes lower. So they work just the opposite of puts. They have them listed in the Wall Street Journal, the Investor's Business Daily. They're on the internet at www.cme.com, DTN. There's a lot of places you can find values of the puts and calls at various strike prices. All right. Put buyer, most of you, we're going to run put buying examples. So most of you, when you hedge, will be put buyers. When you buy a put, you pay a premium. When you buy a put, there's somebody who sells you that put. There's a balance, just like there is with the futures. And if you're buying insurance by buying that put, then the person selling you the put is a lot like the insurance company because they get to collect the premium. No matter what happens, that premium is theirs, and then they pay out if there's a fire or lower prices or whatever. So you pay a premium, the seller collects the premium. You have the right to exercise into a short futures position at any time. So if you bought an October feeder cattle put today, you could exercise it tomorrow or wait till October and exercise it then. Into a short futures position. Most of the time, you aren't going to want to do that, but you have the right to do it. And if you do exercise, then the seller takes the other side. They're long the market. Okay? So there's balance there. As a put buyer, there are no margins or performance bonds for you, but for the put seller, if the market goes lower, they have to put up margins, okay? So if the market starts at 90 and goes down to 80, the put seller would have to put in $10 worth of margins so that there's money there when it's time for you to collect and sell it back, there's money backing up the position. So sellers do put up margins. And there may be some strategies where you might want to be a seller of options, and we'll look at one of those before this hour is over. So, questions here. Now, call buyers, call sellers, works the same way. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But every time somebody buys a call, there's somebody who sells it on the other side. And a lot of times, the sellers of calls and the sellers of puts are market makers on our floor who might lay off those positions in the futures, you know, partly hedge their positions there. So options are derived from the value of futures. And option market makers can somewhat hedge their risk and, you know, sell you options and hedge their risk at the same time to some degree, not fully. All right. Let's look at some common terms. If we're looking at live cattle futures at $76. For puts and calls, the one closest to where the futures market is at is called the at-the-money put or the at-the-money call. So that's how they're described in some of the literature you might read. For puts, those high-value insurance policies, the ones above the market are called in-the-money because they have value already attached to them. The deductible ones below the market are called out-of-the-money. So somebody buys a one strike out of the money put, that means they bought one strike below where the market's at. Okay? Calls just for reverse. Calls, strike prices lower than the market are in the money. Ones higher than the market are out of the money. All right, let's look at some actual premiums here. And this falls into the category of this is nice to know. Nothing I cover on this page do you need to know to be a hedger. So a lot of people ask us where premiums come from, and this is kind of where they, how they're derived. So it's good to know this, but you don't need to know this to make the markets work for you in your cattle operation. Now, let's say April live cattle futures are at $75.70. Okay? And I'm going to warn you here. I kind of plugged in actual premiums. And right now, they're very high. You know, given the volatility in the underlying cattle markets, premiums are much higher than they normally are under normal circumstances. So don't be shocked when you see these. But we'll run the exercise and run the examples because they work the same, even with high premiums as low premiums. But most of the time, they're lower than they are now. Now let's look at three different strike prices for puts. The 78 is an in the money, the 76 would be the at the money, 72 an out of the money. And those are the premiums at the bottom there. $5.40 a hundredweight for the in the money, $4.40 for the at the money, $2.90 for the out of the money. Okay. Now, if you bought a 78 put and you exercised it and got out tomorrow, went long the futures and closed out your position, how much would a 78 put be worth at a minimum today? What's the right to sell at $78 worth if the market's at $75.70? $2.30, right. Okay. Now, this is an April option, so it won't expire until early April. So the total premium yesterday was $5.40. The minimum value is $2.30. So the difference there, this didn't work the way I wanted it. The 76 put has an intrinsic value or minimum value of 30 cents. The out of the money has a value of zero. And now we're going to look at the other part of the value. For the 78 put, then, the time value, which is the minimum value, the difference between the total cost and the minimum value, that time value, which we're going to fill in now, is a function of volatility. So if the market's real volatile, the time value will be fairly high. Just like other insurance, the time value is also based on how long the policy is going to be in place. So if we're looking at a one-month option versus a six-month option, which will have higher time values? 6 months. The longer the option, the higher the cost. And interest rates is kind of a minor impact on where the premium is going to end up. Okay. So the 78 put has a time value of $3.10. And the 230 and the 310 equal the 540. Okay. Time value tells you how much you're really paying for the insurance. I guess that's another way to look at it. The 76 put has a time value of $4.10. 30 cents plus 410 equals 440. The 72 put has a time value of $2.90. And again, 290 would be the true cost of the insurance. Again, this falls into nice to know. You don't need to know it. But just wanted to show it to you. What is good to know, though, is that time value stays on the option until about the last 3 weeks of trading. So the time value will decline or decay real quickly towards the expiration date. But it'll maintain the time value most of the hedge. So if you buy a put today and sell it back tomorrow, you'll recoup most of that time value. Sorry. Okay. It's not a sunk cost. You can get most of that time value back. And I think you'll see when we get to the examples, it'll be clearer what I'm talking about there. All right. Now let's work a hedge with options. We'll make this one pretty realistic. Let's look at April 78 live cattle put. Strike price is 78. Subtract the premium cost, which we paid a lot for that premium, $5.40. We just looked at that. And then let's subtract the basis. Let's say the basis is a dollar. So if you buy a 78 put, you're locking in a floor price of $71.60. Okay. Again, this doesn't make the options look very good. Okay? I just want you to know that I know that you know that. Okay. And the market is really telling you not to just buy puts right now because they're way too expensive. Okay, there are other strategies you can use to help offset that. We'll work one of those, but we still have to work through the exercise anyway. So bear with me here. So it gives you a floor of 71.60. Once you buy that put, then you have three options for what to do with it. By April, when the option expires and you're ready to sell your cattle, if the market's at the strike price or higher, so if it's at $78 or higher, you don't need to do anything. Your put will have no value, so you can just let it expire worthless if we're on expiration date. If your option has a little time value left, or if the market's below 78, most of the time you're going to sell back the option. So if you bought a put, you're going to want to sell back the put to get whatever time value is in there, because there's a lot of time value in these options. Okay. And when you... So when you sell it back, you're getting the strike price minus the futures plus time value. You can also choose to exercise. That's your third option with the options. When you exercise your short futures at the strike price, in our example, if you got an April 78 put and the futures market falls to $70, then you can exercise your 78 put. You'll be short futures at 78. And then to offset that, you buy futures at where the market's at $70, and you get your $8 out of the market that way. So you can exercise, but all you get when you exercise is the difference between the strike price and where the futures are at. So if your option has any time value, you'll sell it back instead of exercising it. A lot of things you read on the option says when you're trying to lift the hedge and sell the cattle, if they say you need to exercise the options, and that's not correct. You're going to want to sell them back the majority of the time. Questions here? All right, let's continue then with our example. All right, we're going to do a new example. When you buy a put, depending on the strike price you buy, you could, if you had an outlook on the market, you could hedge based on your outlook. So if you talked to a broker or you went to the Cattle Facts Outlook Seminar and you had an idea where the market was going to go, or you looked at a chart or whatever, you have lots of different strike prices to choose from. I hope this is right. If you're bearish on the market, you want to buy more in-the-money puts. You want to buy the ones that cost more. They give you a higher floor price, but because they cost more, they don't give you a lot of upside potential. So if you're just looking to buy puts and your outlook is bearish, you want to buy strike prices that are above the market to lock in higher and higher floor prices. If you're more bullish on the market, you want to buy out of the money puts. You know, so if you think the market's going higher, but you don't want to take the risk, if the market does go lower, then you buy a more out of the money put. Doesn't cost you a lot to buy it, doesn't give you a real high floor price, but you do have one in place if the market falls, and you're able to take a real good advantage of higher prices if the market goes higher because you didn't pay a lot of premium. Okay. Of course, if you don't know, which a lot of you were this morning, then buying the at-the-money put is the right one to do. It gives you a lot of protection on the downside, lots of opportunity on the upside. Now, no matter what, when you buy puts, whether you buy in the money, at the money, out of the money, you don't pay any margins. You know? So that's a good thing about just buying puts. Now, let's work our strategy. Let's say April live cattle are at 75.70. We'll buy a 76 put for 4.40. Again, these premiums are very high, so they won't look good, but we got to run the exercise anyway. To calculate a floor, we'll use zero basis here, so we'll just ignore basis. Your floor is 76 minus the cost, or 71.60, which was at the same floor as for the 78. Okay. So you'd be much better off just buying the 70, 76. Now, you have no ceiling on the upside. So you've got a floor on the downside, no ceiling on the upside, other than the fact that you paid $4.40 for the put. Let's see what happens over a range in prices. We'll go to expiration in early April. Let's say we're at the expiration date, so the option's going to expire. That happens to be the same day you'll sell your cattle, so a perfect hedge. Let's look at a range from 76, where the market's at now, up to 86, down to 66. And we've bought a 76 put. If the market stays at $76, what's your put going to be worth? Zero. So you lose your premium. You paid $4.40. Subtract that from $76 price for the cattle, gives you a net price of $71.60. If the market goes to $66, what's your 76 put going to be worth? $10. You paid $4.40. So you've got a profit of $5.60 there. Sell your cattle at 66 plus 560. Give you a net price of 71.60. Now, if we go to 86, your put will be worth nothing. You'll lose the premium, but you'd be able to sell at a much higher cash price. 86 minus 440. Uh-oh. My first technical disaster here. I leaned on the mouse here. I don't know what to do. Help, Tom. Help. Tom is our technical.
Among other things.
Beautiful. All right. So easy. Thank you, Tom. Let's give Tom a hand. All right. All right, so you sell your cattle at 86 minus the 440 premium gives you a net price of 81.60. So you're able to take some advantage of higher prices. Now, this shows you over three different prices what you net. It doesn't tell you what happens in between. So I like pictures. So on the next page, we'll have a picture of what that looks like. And at the bottom is the potential range in cash and futures prices in April. On the left-hand side is the net price for the cattle. If we buy a 76 put and pay $4.40 and the market goes lower than $76, that's what we call the risk side of the market. And no matter how low the market goes, your put will increase in value enough so that your profit on the put will offset lower prices in the cash to where you end up netting the floor price of $71.60. So no matter how low we go, that floor price kicks in. Now, what isn't obvious from buying a put is that if the market goes higher, that's what we call the opportunity side of the market. Every time the market ends up a dollar higher than $76, that's another dollar you net on those cattle. So you're adding more and more dollars on the net price to where if we end up at 86, so you got dollar for dollar upside. If we end up at 86, you net 81.60. So that's a picture of what we just worked out with the numbers. Questions here on this particular example. Now, these premiums were very high, so it doesn't look like a good opportunity with the options. But the next strategy we're going to look at shows you how you can offset the high cost of the options. It's a strategy that a lot of feed yards use. They use it to reduce, their cash flow because it doesn't cost them as much to do it, and it gives them some upside opportunity. But also limits the upside. And we call that one the fence. The outlook that you would have if you do a fence most of the time, first of all, if premiums are high, rather than do a strategy that involves buying puts, you want to do one that involves selling puts. So here we're going to get to the selling side of options, because when premiums are high, then you want to sell them to collect those premiums. And this is a hedge, a safe hedge strategy. You know, you just don't want to go run out willy-nilly and sell premiums just to take them in. This is one that a lot of hedgers like you use because it's a safe strategy. With the fence, your outlook is a little bit bullish. There's no right way or wrong way to do the fence. You can buy different strike prices. You can have some way above the market, some close to the market. There's no right way or wrong way to do this. Because you're selling options, though, there are margins involved with this particular strategy, so you need to keep that in mind. Now, we have April live cattle futures at 75.70. And part one of this strategy always involves buying the put. So you buy the put first to have downside protection in place. And we'll buy an April 74 put and pay $3.60 in premium. Again, that's a very high premium. Now, the trade-off in part two here can happen at any time. You can sell it on the day you buy the put, or you can wait a couple weeks for a rally and then sell the call or whatever. You don't have to do it at the same time, but the other side of the fence would involve selling a call. And here we're going to sell an April 78 call and take in $3.10 in premium. So we paid out, if we did this on the same day, we paid out $3.60, took in $3.10. What's our net cost here? 50 cents, right. Okay, so when we're calculating our floor price, the floor price would be the lower strike minus the net cost, or 50 cents. We've got a floor on the downside then of 73.50, which is much higher than we had with just buying the put by itself. But the trade-off with the strategy is that there's an upside. So you take the call strike price, subtract the net cost, and your upside is $77.50. Now, that's almost $2 higher than where the market's at now. So you've got some good upside potential. With this strategy, though, you're not going to hit a home run. This is for people who expect maybe a single or a double. You know, some upside, but not a ton of upside. And again, this is a good one when premiums are high. All right, let's work it out. Let's look at a range from 76 to 86 down to 66, the same range we looked at before. And if the futures market stays at $76, right where it's at now, what's your put going to be worth? What's the right to sell at 74 at in the 76 market? Zero. What's your call going to be worth? Zero. Yeah, both of them will expire with no value, so you paid the premium for the put, you collect the premium for the call, so you paid out $3.60, you took in $3.10, both of those cross, your net cost is 50 cents, your net price for the cattle is 76 minus your net cost, or 75.50. So in a sideways market, this strategy worked out real well. Didn't cost you a whole lot, this particular fence strategy. Now let's look at the downside, how much protection it gave you. If the market went to 66, your 74 put will be worth $8. You sell it back for 8, You took in three, or you paid 360, so your profit is 440. So you made profits on the put, and you get to keep the premium on the call. By the way, this should say call. This is a mistake. I'm sorry. I've been pointing at the screen all day expecting you to see what I'm pointing at. That third column should say 78 call. Okay. I'm sorry. But you get to keep the call premium. So you sell the cattle at 66 plus your 440 put profit plus your 310 call profit gives you a net price of 73.50. So that's your floor price on the downside. All right. Now, this is the only tricky part. Then when we get to 86, your 74 put will have no value, so you'll lose the premium. And now your 78 put, as the market goes higher, what will you be doing? As your call goes higher, what will you be doing? Because you sold it, you're going to be putting in margins. You'll be putting in margins, not losing money. No, you're right. So you'll pay in $8 in margin calls, take in $310. You lost $490. So 86 minus 360 minus 490 should equal your ceiling of 77.50. So this strategy, well, has a lot of advantages. First of all, it gives you the opportunity to make more than 75.70. So you've got some upside potential. It's better than, as you pointed out before, if you sold futures, what price would you lock in? 75.70. So it gives you some upside, gives you a lot of protection on the downside, and doesn't cost a lot to start out with because your net cost is 50 cents, which on live cattle would be $200. So it's a relatively minor cost. Let's take a look at the picture of that. Again, on the horizontal axis, that's where cash and futures prices can be in April. On the vertical axis, that's the hedge price for the cattle. If you buy the 74 put and sell the 78 call at the same time, what you've done is you've established a floor price on the downside. No matter how low the market goes, your floor of 73.50 will kick in. And you've got upside potential to the tune of 77.50. So you can make as much as that if the market went higher. And again, the way feedlots look at this, if you buy a 74 put and sell a 78 call, between those two strike prices where you've got that 45 degree line, you're pretty much selling where the market's at. So you're getting the market between those two strike prices, a floor below that and a ceiling above that. And low cash flow to start out with. But you might have margin calls later on. But this, again, is a common strategy that people use when premiums are fairly high. Questions? You know, that's a very good question, and I said to start out with, there's no right way or wrong way to do this. With premiums as high as they are, you could buy a 74 put and sell an 80 call and give yourself even more upside. And that 80 call might have a lot of premium, which would also offset part of that put. So you can choose whatever strike prices you want. And well, the main idea with the fence usually is to have the call income offset the put outlay. That's the first thought usually on it. But if you're more bullish than just 77.50, then you might go another strike higher or even two strikes higher. You can position these whatever way you want. There's no right way or wrong way to do it. Again, I said earlier, you could buy the put now, wait for the market to rally $3 or $4, and then sell the call. And maybe even another strike price higher. So, there's a lot of different ways you can do the fence. And for extra credit, if you bought a 78-74, if you bought a 78 put and sold a 74 call, what would that look like? This guy almost has it here. It'd be the opposite. You'd make more money if the market falls and less money if the market goes down. It'd be just the opposite. But okay, you get two lunches today instead of one. All right. Any questions? Yes.
I guess I'm still a little unclear to why you want to motivate you to do this. If you're slightly
well, again, you don't know today what's going to happen. So you want to have a floor in place. You don't know what news is going to come out. You don't know what's going to happen. So you want to have some protection on the downside, but you also want to be able to make more money if the market goes higher. So, if you were absolutely positively sure the market was going lower or going higher, And you know that for a fact because you've got 20/20 hindsight or a crystal ball, don't do anything.
Well, I guess, it's just a term relative, but if your breaks up could happen and might go lower, I would say you'd be slightly bullish.
Well, you could have a slightly bullish would mean you think it's going to go up a little bit, and maybe you think there's a 70% chance the market's going to go higher, a 30% chance it's going to go lower. So that would be another reason for doing it, because you don't have 100% certainty what's going to happen. I see the Cattle Facts guys are there in the back of the room. You guys ready to go pretty much? All right. We've got to take a couple questions here, and then I think we'll be done and turn it over to you guys. Yes. The floor, ideally, would be great if it was at or above your break-even. That would be the best thing. But another thing I do want to point out is either by buying a put or doing a fence, if it's not at your break-even, you're not locked into that. A lot of times, you could hedge at a loss on cattle you've got in the feedlot, and that might be the best thing to do if the market's going to go lower. But I know almost nobody will do that. Almost nobody does that. It's against human nature to hedge in a loss, even if that might be the smartest thing to do. But buying a put, you can stop loss on the downside and still take advantage of the upside. So a lot of people will set in a floor below their break even because they're not locked in at that. So that's a very good point you brought up there. Yes, sir. Well, I wish I knew the answer to that. If I knew, I could take advantage of it, but I can't tell you how. Yes. All right. I don't know where it's at right now. I forgot to check that before I came to here. All right. The question was, what's a normal volatility? What is volatility? What's a normal volatility? And what is it now? And I can tell you that the historical average has been about 15%, correct? 14, 13, 15%? Yeah.
The way volatility is calculated by the exchange, we calculate it off the cash market, and the cash market volatility will
And then the question was, how much longer is that going to last? And I don't think either one of us can answer that one right now. But just another point, if the volatility is 15%, then the way a writer of options would look at that is there's, under a normal bell curve, there's a pretty high probability that the market in the next year could be up or down 15% from where we are now. And then plus, you know, add another 15% onto that, the odds are lower, but it could be, you know, about 30% either way. 20% volatility would mean it would be more volatile under that same bell curve. Yes, sir. No, we are still working with Renee Lloyd of NCBA on that, and well, I've talked to Renee, I've talked to your state organization. If you'd like to have one in your state, have them call Renee and set one up. We'd love to do them in as many places around the country as we can. We want to get out there and get out to your part of the world also. So I'd talk to your state organization if you want to get one of these seminars set up in your area, and or call Renee direct or Terry Stokes or whoever.